Good morning and welcome to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning, even though I'm recording on Thursday. But hope you're having a great beginning to your day and so thankful to our God that we're able to get together in this way and that you've decided to join us today. There are a couple announcements as we begin our time together. First of all, I'd like to go over the Palms to Go process. We had Ashes to Go for Ash Wednesday, and that worked incredibly well. So now we're hoping to distribute palms and communion and cinnamon rolls the same way. So if you come into the parking lot and come to the top, the front doors, the main doors of the church, that's where you'll receive palms. And we also have a little bit of a goodie bag for kids for Easter. Then if you go down below to the preschool doors, that's where you can pick up your communion for Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. And then as you leave the parking lot down below, that's where you can pick up the cinnamon rolls that you have ordered from the youth group. And thank you so much for all the support and love that you poured out for the youth of our church. Their cinnamon roll sale has been a great success. Then the other thing I would like to mention is our Holy Week schedule. First of all, you can register for Holy Week now. Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter weekend are all online, and you are able to register at your convenience beginning now. So on Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, the services, online services, will be available at noon, and we have a 6:30 in-person service on both those days. Then we are bringing back our Saturday evening service on Easter. So on Saturday at 5:30 p.m., we'll have our in-person Easter service. And then on Sunday at 8, 9:30, and 11. Again, you're able to register for all those services online at this time. Palm Sunday, of course, is just treated like a regular weekend, so you can register when that opens up. Those are all the announcements that I'd like to have for today. So we begin our worship the way that we always do, by sharing the peace with the people who are near and far away. So the peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take a few minutes to share that peace with each other. We continue our worship this morning with our confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the keeper of the covenants, the source of all steadfast love, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God hears us when we cry and draws close to us in Jesus Christ. So let us return to the one who is full of compassion. A moment of silent reflection. Fountain of living water, pour out your mercy over us. Our sin is heavy and we long to be free. Rebuild what we have ruined and mend what we have torn. Wash us in your cleansing flood. Make us alive in the Spirit to follow in the way of Jesus as healers and restorers of the world you so love. Amen. Beloved, God's word never fails. The promise rests on God's grace by the saving love of Jesus Christ, the wisdom and the power of God. All of our sins are forgiven. God remembers them no more. So let us continue our journey in the way of Jesus. Amen. Let's join together in singing our opening hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us join together in praying the hymn of the day. O God, with steadfast love you draw us to yourself, and in mercy you receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that through life and death we may live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our worship this morning with the readings.
Today's first reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. The Judeans in Babylon blamed their exile on their ancestors who had broken the covenant established at the Sinai. Here their prophet looks to be a day when God will make a new covenant with the people. There will be no need to teach the law because God will write it on their hearts. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the houses of Israel and the houses of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the houses of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to know each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Our psalm of the day is Psalm 51, verses 1 through 12. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love and your greatest compassion, blot out my offense. Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my offenses, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so you are justified when you speak and right in your judgment. Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb. Indeed, you delight in truth deep within me, and would have me known as a wisdom deep within. Remove my sins with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice. Hid your face from my sins, and blot out all my wickedness. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me joy of your salvation, and sustain me with your bountiful spirit. Today's second reading is from Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. Using priestly imagery and references to the Old Testament, the author explains how Christ lived in trusting obedience to God, and so God has made Christ the source of our eternal salvation. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made so perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek.
This is the Holy Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks,
They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip both went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." But Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue now with our children's sermon. Good morning, boys and girls. It's so good to be with you this morning on this beautiful Sunday that God has given to us. So I want to talk to you about seeing. And specifically, how do we see God at work in our lives? You know, one of the things you may not know about me is that I have to wear contacts. And contacts are the things that you put into your eyes, these little lenses that you put into your eyes, and they help me to see. Because otherwise, if I didn't wear my contacts, I couldn't see anything much more than just a few inches in front of my face because my eyesight is so bad. But there's also other kinds of things that you can do to help us see in different ways. These are my glasses that I use when I'm at the computer. And these glasses, they don't help me see things far away, but what they do is they help filter some of the light that comes from the computer so it doesn't hurt my eyes so badly. And they help me to be able to sit at my computer and work and not get my eyes so tired after a long period of time. So these glasses are for a special use for when I use when I'm at my computer. But these glasses aren't really my sunglasses, but they're sunglasses, right? They have a darker lens, and they help when you're outside and when you're in a sunny area or if you're in a brightly lit room. You can wear your sunglasses because it helps you see in bright light, right? So, likewise, today we have a story about people who want to see Jesus. And sometimes it's helpful to have different ways of seeing or understanding who Jesus is. Sometimes we need a different perspective. And so when we talk about seeing God active in our lives or in the world, when we see where God shows up, sometimes we need others to help us see. Sometimes it's a friend who helps us see things more clearly. Sometimes it's a neighbor who maybe helps us see things differently or in ways that we didn't consider before. Sometimes it's a teacher or a pastor or a stranger or anybody that we meet who helps us to see and recognize how God is at work in our lives today. in ways that we maybe didn't consider before. Because the incredible thing about God is that God is always with us. God is always doing something, but we don't always see it. And that's why we need each other. That's why we need you, and you need all of us here at church. That's why we need community. Because in community, we help one another see and understand how God is at work in our lives when we couldn't see it ourselves. So, my friends, I want to thank you, because through your joy and through your witness and your love, you help me see and understand God in ways that I never could have by myself. And I hope that you do that. I hope that we at church do that for you as well. Would you please join me in a prayer? Good and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our friends and family members and loved ones. We thank you for the people in our lives who help us to see you and to help show us how you are at work in our lives, always teaching us, always reminding us that you love us, that you care for us, that you are making all things new. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. All right, bye, friends. I'm going to have to go put these on, because God's going to be doing some incredible things. I just know it. We just have to be ready to see. Bye, everybody. Brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. One of my favorite stories has always been Alice's Adventures in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll. As a young boy, I loved the Disney movie and all the fantastic colors and the wonderful scenes and even the most bizarre things you could possibly imagine. And when I got older and I actually read the novel, I began to see how brilliantly funny the story is. One of those you can't possibly explain to someone. I can't tell you how it's funny. You just have to read it to know and to experience what made it so hilarious. But without hesitation, I will say that my favorite character was and is the Mad Hatter. The Mad Hatter. I love him. He's fantastic. He's such a brilliant character because to everyone else, he's ill. He is out of his mind. He is mad, hence the name. But yet, the more that he speaks, the more you begin to see beyond the madness, the more you begin to sense his brilliance, his ability to see and understand the world around him in just a different way. And that's what I love about this character. To everyone else, he's mad. But to those who are willing to hear him and to be willing to see the things that he sees, he's not mad. He's brilliant. He opens up the world to be seen and experienced in new ways. Now, I would say that the Gospel of John, when compared to the other Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is the Mad Hatter of Gospels. John is different. John can feel strange at times, confusing even. John can feel a little bit out there. But yet, the more that you read it, the more you begin to understand what it is that John is seeing in Jesus. You begin to feel that John is inviting us into this wonderland of sorts, which isn't to say that John doesn't write about reality, rather the beauty of John's gospel is its ability to challenge us to see Jesus, to set aside our preconceived ideas and notions, and to see Jesus, his death, his life, his resurrection, and ascension in ways that we might not have considered before. John invites us to encounter the incarnate presence of God, all while opening ourselves up to see and experience just how truly transformative the love of God in Christ is. So, it's really no coincidence that at this moment, some seemingly random Greeks show up and they want to see Jesus. John does this quite frequently. But it's not like they just want to see Jesus. Like they don't want to, like Jesus is popular and so they want to see him. It's not like my desire to see my favorite band in concert or to see the Minnesota Vikings win a Super Bowl. They don't just want to see Jesus. They're not fangirling or fanboying over Jesus. It's much deeper than all of that. They want to know Jesus. Now, chances are they've heard about Jesus' miraculous raising of Lazarus from the dead, as well as all the other incredible things that Jesus has done. There's something infectious about Jesus. And they can't help but be drawn to Jesus because in Jesus, they see hope. They see possibility. They see newness and freshness of life. They don't just want to see Jesus to say they've done it. They want to see and experience the fullness, the whole thing. They want it all. And John, through these random Greeks, wants us to see. Wants us to have that same desire, that same passion. John wants to show us how this hope, this possibility, this newness of life, this transformational love is for us too. It's for the Greek and the Jew. It's for you and me. It's for all. It's a transformative love for the whole world. And the only question that we have, or that is posed to us, is how are we going to see it? How are we going to see such love in our midst today? You know, I am by no means a gardener. I have tried. Believe me, I have tried. And the only thing that I am apparently really good at growing is a tangled mess of weeds. Year after year, when I was living in North Dakota, Lauren and I would try our best to plant a garden because the idea of fresh produce was so enticing. And year after year, after growing a garden of weeds, I would try to come up with some new strategy to stay ahead of those weeds and keep the produce alive and well. And year after year, I would inevitably find myself piecing and searching through the mess of weeds to try and find a tomato or two that made it through. Now, I probably should have just quit after year one and certainly after year two, but there was just something. I wanted it to work. Truthfully, I needed somebody else to show me. I needed somebody else to teach me. And perhaps that is what Jesus is describing here. Perhaps that's what John is trying to help us see. that Jesus is the seed that dies in order that fruit may abound. Out of death comes life. And for John, that life comes through the cross. John wants us to see how. But for John, being the Mad Hatter that he is, the cross is how the fruit of life will finally come forth. For John, Jesus isn't really filled with so much agony, at least not nearly as much as in the other Gospels, because Jesus knows God's will. God's will and Jesus' will are one because God and Jesus are one. The fourth gospel began with one of the most important and theologically profound claims, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then this Word became flesh and lived among us. Jesus knows who he is, and he knows what he has been called to do for the sake of the whole world. He is the seed that must die in order that the bountiful fruits may be born. But truthfully, John isn't really interested in talk about sacrifice. That's not primarily who Jesus is in this gospel. Rather, Jesus is the seed that must die, not to appease an angry God, but in order to accomplish what God set out so long ago to do. To draw the whole world to God's very self, until it's all surrounded and encompassed in grace and love. And you know this, because it's the story we've been telling throughout Lent. God's promise to Noah and to all the world to forge a new way of abundant life. The promise to Abraham and Sarah to work in and through their faithful lives to bring about hope and change, not just for them, but for all generations. To come, to promise to the people of Israel through the Ten Commandments, teaching us all what God's community looks like with compassion as a core value, that we need each other. The promise of newness for you and for me and for the whole world through forgiveness, and the God who remembers sin no more. That story. The story about a God who does all of these things out of an incomprehensibly deep love for the whole cosmos. And now as we near closer and closer to the end of Lent, we also draw nearer to the fulfillment of these covenants, which are really just one covenant. The promise to end sin and death, the promise to cast aside all of suffering, the promise to heal that which is broken, the promise of renewal and transformation of all things. And John is saying, do you see how it's begun? Do you see it? Do you see how it's happening right now? For John, there is no question. Christ on the cross is a victorious Christ. That God has set out to renew and restore and heal and transform this world and all who are in it. And on the cross it is happening. Even here and now. And you know what? Perhaps given the year that we've had, John is the gospel we need. To see the cross in a new light, to look to the cross in a new way, to see the Christ and the love of God poured out for the world from a new perspective, to be reminded that the cross is really about life, so that life may abound and flourish. That this world is being transformed because the seed has died and the covenant has and is still being fulfilled for you and for me and for this world. But I know there's some part of you that's saying, come on, Pastor Ryan, look around you. How could it possibly be true? Look at the world. It's getting worse. How could anyone look around and see God's promise fulfilled here and now? That'd be me, fair enough. But our faith calls us to trust and to see how God's promise is fulfilled. Our faith calls us to trust and to see how this world is being transformed, that Christ has accomplished what he set out to do. And maybe our faith reminds us that we have to be a little bit mad to even believe it. A little bit out of our mind, a little bit crazy to believe that this world could possibly be changed, that we could possibly be changed and transformed by the power of love. You'd have to be mad. And maybe that's the point. Maybe that's not such a bad thing. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Joined together on this day, confessing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue our worship this morning with the prayers. So let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, we ask that you help us to embrace the truth of your holy gospel in our lives, that when we love our lives more than we love you, we lose our life. But when we lose our life for your sake and for the sake of this world, we are promised eternal life in your kingdom. Help us to follow. Help us to serve where you have led. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for our world right now, which seems so torn up with hatred and violence. Right now, we pray for those of Asian descent, our American brothers and sisters around us who are being mistreated for no good reason. We ask that you open the hearts and the minds of all your people and help us to see each other as your precious children, who deserve love and respect and kindness and grace, not because we're so good, but because you are so good. Help us to remember who we are. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray for all your children who are in need on this day. We pray for Arthur Borgerson, the father of Janice Obie, who is currently going through a major transition in his life. He needs your strength and your power and your Holy Spirit to help guide him. Janice and the whole family also needs your help too. Surround them all with your love and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those who are sick or suffering, who are in the process of needing your healing in their lives. We ask that you be with Sharon Wells, who is recovering from surgery this week on her hand, and who is also struggling with a great deal of pain with her back. We ask that you guide all the doctors and nurses who care for her, all those people who have surrounded her with love and grace. Strengthen Sharon on this day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And there are others that we know who need your help. We pray for them all, and we raise their names up silently now to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, Lord God, we pray for wisdom this day. As we continue to reopen, as we continue to change and adapt to our current circumstances, guide those people in leadership positions our president, our governors, our local people who are helping us to figure out how to progress through this pandemic. But we give you thanks that we're starting to see the light. We're starting to have some hope. We're starting to see some changes that are going to make our lives better and good. Help us to embrace these changes and to move forward in your holy name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior. Amen. This morning we continue with our offering. And again, if you'd use this as a time to think about what God has done for you and what this whole Holy Week journey means for all of us, or this Lenten time journey, I mean, what it means for us. And just take a moment to think about how much God loves you. We continue our worship this morning with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary. It is our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus the Christ. You call your people to cleanse our hearts and to prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of our baptisms, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn.
Savior, precious Savior, whom yet unseen we love. O name of might and favor, all other names above. We worship thee, we bless thee, to thee alone we sing.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached the good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms for all people. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his return when he comes in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all whom you have fed with this heavenly food, the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all glory, honor, now and forever. Amen. We continue by praying the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Beloved in Christ, this is the body of Christ given for you. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you. I invite you to receive the blessing. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. O God of steadfast love, at this table you gathered your people into one body for the sake of this world. So we ask that you send us in the power of your Holy Spirit, that our lives may bear witness to the love that has been made known to us through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I'd invite you to receive the benediction. We are exactly what God has made us to be, created in Christ Jesus for good works, chosen as holy and beloved people of God, freed to serve our neighbors in love. So, God bless you all, that we may be a blessing in the name of the holy and life-giving Trinity. Amen. Let's sing together our closing hymn, Lift High the Cross. Peace and share the good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.